Friends, I'm turning this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 24. And I'll read to you verses 24 to 27. Acts chapter 24, verses 24 to 27. And after 13 days, when Philip came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Philip trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and commune with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Philip's room, and Philip, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound.
And then let you know, we can in a new Christian, when you get by. Or some mama walk a prayer, call by. But here is for you to go to the master. Now, all the country in any hawk, yeah, tell me what I have about master, please show him. Or can say, say, the hawk, and then that guy, and I'll have a prayer with him. And then that's what you say, Paul, the man is the card for a garden. It's not that I'm a walk a prayer. Now, I didn't know what I'm talking about. And Christian, you know, prayer. Talk your question, you see, believe in an animal, and believe in per se, not so you have fallen in it. Therefore, yes,
friends, our text this morning will be based on verse 25, where he says, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Philip trembled and answered, 'Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient time, convenient season, I will call for thee.'" So our subject for this morning will be the danger of procrastination. The danger or the tragedy of procrastination. As my baby Naswa can say, as you saw Bonia, I was say Ube Prim Wakuma. Say the whip him wakuma, especially when you go on asem. So over ten years past asem, then the whip him wakuma. And then asem you become and pay. Now, when you look at this account, Paul was arrested in Jerusalem. Why was he arrested? He was preaching the gospel. He was arguing that there was resurrection. Christ will come again, and then there will be the end of time. And that's how come he was arrested, and then he was brought to Felix. Felix was the governor of Judea at the time. So Paul was asked to come before him for final judgment. So as he was there, he was put in prison, and then Felix called him to come and speak to him. And this man, this Felix, was a man, a very wicked man, a very corrupt man, very immoral man, and he was the governor. And we see how Paul presented the gospel to this man, to this governor, and we have so many lessons to learn from this account. I wonder if any of our so-called prophets and the big pastors can go and stand before the president and tell him this, and tell him the truth about life, no matter who you are, what life is about, what we are yet to face. But Paul was brave enough to tell this governor the truth about the gospel. And as I always say, when the gospel is preached in truth, it's backed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, your friend or governor, omo penny party, say will be a president and another prime minister. Then him now we see Paul in the can you can look channel. And you cry, and what we are seeing, and you cry, Bible see and come, and then a Paul catch him. And I make up this, what kind of question I know about Bible, and now I'm going to soon, and I need 2 minutes, a dear tree. We don't see this kind of preaching today. A friend of mine who is a pastor told me one day that he had been listening to our sermons. And if you got no preaching like this, people will leave our churches. And he's a pastor. And that's what we are all seeing. So we'll see what Paul said in his preaching and the power behind it. We live in a world, as the Bible said, that people want to hear things that will tickle their ears. To see, you do baby, and you prepare someone, a bay on death, and yes, someone you see it here. And to pour the one, you understand, or can someone just think of more see a car. If you be a kind, you will see it. This man, like I said, he was corrupt, he was cruel, and very, very immoral man. Even his wife, he was about 19 years old, girl, and was that girl, the Jewish girl, he was married to in an adulterous relationship. This girl. And her father is Herod Agrippa, who was the grandson of that Herod who tried to kill Jesus. Remember when Christ was born, there was a man called Herod who killed all the 2-year-old children because of Christ. This is the granddaughter of this girl. So you can imagine the kind of people they are, Felix and his wife. And Paul had the opportunity to speak to them. Then, so now we are coming to see what Paul told him. What exactly was Paul's message? That is what we have in the verse 25. First, Paul taught him about righteousness, and then about temperance, which is self-control, and then about the judgment to come. This is the gospel. Every gospel might point to your sin and the judgment to come. Any gospel without judgment or pointing to your sin is no gospel. Forget about people who say they are gospel singers and they are singing and they mention something about religion and it's no. The gospel, we don't even sing it. We preach the gospel. We point people to their faults and warn them about the dangers and about the judgment to come. And that's exactly what Paul was doing here. The American is a Paul. The righteousness, temperance, and self-control, and the judgment to come. And this is the core of the Bible message. When you are someone, you must be preaching to you, be a non gospel. And it's also very nice to be a gospel. No one can say, we are not any gospel. And like I said before, all people are preaching is about the love of God. As if God is like some Santa Claus, giving you your gifts, what you want, and no. Why don't they talk about the wrath of God? The same way as we have the love of God, we have His wrath as well. Because that same God, that's where His warning. Why do you have this in the Bible? It's a warning for us that if you neglect such an important message, there's a time for judgment, and nobody can stand when that judgment comes. If you don't give your life to Christ now, so He talked about righteousness, temperance, self-control, and then we also heard that when this man was confronted, because this man, like I said already, told you, he's corrupt, he's not righteous, he's wicked and immoral. But when Paul preached the gospel, look at what he said. He said he trembled. The king trembled. He was afraid. He was alarmed. But instead of repenting, what did he say? He said, "Go your way and come back the next time." Friends, I hope nobody here is going to become like that. When we hear the gospel, we are now getting to the end of the year. Please let your resolution be that if you have heard the gospel for years and you haven't repented, today should be your day. Because judgment is coming, and it is true. We'll prove all these things as we go on. The American said, "So we will be, I want to know, to see our fear from the year yet." And some of the people who are asking, Manenge wa Jesus wo pim akoma acha enye sasem no ewiye afia beba no um pim akoma biyo kisa wo ti asem no na wo ti asem na wo wo asem no anya dwuma e faso biye Jesus. And in the long run, the judgment will be on you. So he said he was afraid because there was power in what Paul said. So the king's heart was worried. He trembled. But yet, he did not do anything. He did not repent and give his life to Christ. He went on, he told him to go and come another time. And as we read the whole chapter, there was never another time. So the man died in his sin and is still waiting for a time to go to hell. Friends, I hope you are not like that. I hope you are not here to hear the word so many times and yet ignore it and leave your life, the judgment to come. I'm sure even in life, things happen in our own life that shakes our heart, isn't it? We all go through some terrible experiences that shakes our heart. And then maybe after the accident, we come back to your own again. You forget about the accident. All those things are calling from God. When you say, "If you say to me to try and now I'm a wakuma, I come wakuma, ni na I find you come on fast with the after all. Now somebody come wakuma, so then I will. Omo to wa na we fi unyango pon. The same things na anybody here unyango pon asem. Obe kwa sorry ya kuti asem na so ni be come wakuma. Ufi asem go PAP. Then one now was I go back to your old ways again. Don't be like that this coming year. Don't let the gospel go, because it is the most powerful, the most important message on earth. Don't waste this message when it comes to you. And people always experience such things and they come to hear the word of God and yet they don't do anything. Paul himself, the man who wrote this, he was also confronted by Christ when he was going to persecute the Christians. And on the way, Christ called him. And that was the beginning of Paul, of the change of Paul. Paul, who was persecuting Christians, has now become a saint. And I'm sure you know that Paul preached more than all the other apostles. Because when Christ confronted him, he gave his life to Christ. And then his life was changed. And exactly the same thing. You are being called. Anytime you are hearing the gospel, God is calling you. Anytime you hear God is calling, what are you saying? What are you saying to the call? Are you giving your life to him or not? Let's see what happened to Paul. Because Paul was very stubborn, because I'm sure he had heard the word again and again, but on that day, Christ made him blind. He became blind and fell down. That was the mighty work of the gospel. He became blind. And then he was forced to ask two questions. The first one, he said, "Who art thou?" Because Christ said, "Why do you persecute me?" And then he said, "Who are you?" And Christ said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Paul said, "I'm holding. If you do a miracle, you have to call Emma and you fry Emma or both from the night of fire and all pass with your friend." Paul said, "Who's happening?" He said, "Why no? Why now, old friend?" And Jesus Christ said, "A mini pana, oh no, what are timing?" And the one asked, "Tear the poor kind." Or said, "What do you want me to do?" And he made them. He asked Christ, "Now what do you want me to do?" And then Christ told him what he wants him to do, to surrender his life to him and stop persecuting the Christians. We have a similar one with the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. I'm sure all of you know this story, when Peter and Paul and his people were arrested, and then in a miraculous way, the walls of the prison was broken. And the jailer was so much afraid when he saw this, another way of calling him the jailer. What he said, he trembled, he became afraid. Then he asked Paul, "What must I do?" Have you ever asked that question before when you are confronted with the gospel? I said, "Not come, come on. I'm going to say, a day and a minute." That is what you must do. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And what did Paul tell him? "Believe in the Lord, on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you and your family will be saved." He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." And instantly, the jailer believed and was saved. See, the same way as Paul was shaking and he gave his life to Christ, the same way this Philippian jailer too, he was shaken by what he saw. And then he asked what he must do. And he was asked to repent and give his life to Christ. This is exactly the message I'm telling you now. When we hear the gospel, Maybe you have been coming here for years, you have been listening to the gospel for years, not only here, in your life experience, God has called you, you have heard the gospel from the church. What have you done? Have you asked yourself, what must I do to be saved? In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, those who heard and believed, they committed their life to Christ and were baptized. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, you haven't believed. You can't just say, I have believed, and that is it. There must be a sign of your belief. Have you committed your life to Christ? Have you been baptized? That now you know that you are a member of the Christian family. And friends, like I always say, the joy in being a Christian, no amount of words can express it. Nobody can expect for you to understand, except you yourself, you come to experience it. How God protects you, how God provides for you in miraculous ways, all this, you alone can feel it. Nobody can tell you to understand. The American is there. Paul, no, Jesus fear that no, because I said, then I mean, yeah. Jesus came and said, Jesus made him, not a woman. Immediately, you know, Paul, you know, man. And then, in the Paul, yeah, or throw a similar question, will be a. And he said, who are you answering? What is the question? What is the question? What is the question? What is the question? And I make up the ask 2 before the season. That was the Great Commission. Go and preach the gospel and baptize those who believe. It's not just saying, I believe and I'll come to church every day. And that's, no. There must be a sure sign that you have been converted, you have been baptized. You have become a member of the family. Your name is in the book of life. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, I pray that God will have mercy upon you. That as you hear the word today, as we are going to the last Sunday of the year, don't enter the following year with that hardened heart. Please, give your life to Christ and be baptized. And let him also take control of your life. Now, we have heard that when Felix heard this, even though he trembled, he told him to go and come another time, as if there were more time. I remember when we were children, there was a particular wooden truck that plied our road, and it was written on the front there, procrastination is the thief of time. I'm sure many of you have seen that thing before. So if you are procrastinating, you are joking or you are playing with time. As, like I always said, this time that we are living in is given to us to prepare for eternal life. As I said, you also see the Amaya, and everybody Amaya say, Yamaya, and then change the airbag. The airbag is the end, see that. Where there it will end. When you die or when Christ comes, that's the end of this world. But the next one is going to be forever and ever, either in heaven or in hell. So we are given this time to prepare. For that one, either you go to heaven or you go to hell, it will depend on how you have used this word, how you have also applied the word of God in your life, the word that you hear, the gospel that you hear all the time. So let's look at what Paul said. He said he preached on righteousness. Righteousness. Nobody can go to heaven without being righteous. Being one man, waiting for heaven on your training. But the problem is, we are all born in sin. We are all born in sin. Christ is the only righteous person. So, without Christ, you can never be righteous to be able to go to heaven. That's what exactly what Paul was telling the man. He said, you have to be righteous to be able to go to heaven. Otherwise, you will perish in hell. In Romans 3:23, the same Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 11. Can you please read that for me? 3, verse 23. Then you go to verse 10 to 11, he said, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Then verse 12, he said, they are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Say what you said. Yeah, no, I'm sure that you want to keep money. When you're money, when you're yeah, yeah. For so any also, yeah, no, I'm a papa. I'm a anyway.
So, is this the true state of man? And if I keep the affair by nature, we are sinful because of Adam, because we heard it from Adam. It is only Christ who is righteous. So, when you believe in him, then he increases righteousness unto you. So, when you go and meet God, God will see you as Christ, but not as you yourself. Otherwise, nobody will go to heaven. So, Paul told them that they need to be righteous. And to become righteous is to be converted from your sinful state to the state of righteousness. Then, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that in him we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. So, ono a onim boni no, ono baye boni mai. Eti di kumu no kavu no. Because he didn't commit any sin, he died for our sins. All our sins were put on him, and compressed within 3 hours, he suffered for us. So that when you believe in him, that righteousness is given to you, and that's what you can take to go to God. There are so many verses. Romans 4, verse 36, Isaiah 53, Romans 3, verse 22, many of them, but we don't have time for. But all I'm saying is that we are all unrighteous by nature. And with that, we can never appear before the Holy, Holy God. We must be righteous. And you can only be righteous when you give your life to Christ. And then he imputes his righteousness unto you. So, in summary, Paul preached the hope of salvation through Christ. Even though the picture is so bleak, as I've told you, we are sinful by nature. But in Christ, there's a way out that you can turn from your sinful state to become a saint. Then he also talked about temperance. And I've said temperance is self-control. It's about self-control. Because of the fall of mankind, we are not capable of controlling our lust. Especially now these days, you see sexual passion that people don't have control. Married men and women are having all these things. The unmarried are also involved. People don't have control over their lust. It's as a result of the fall of mankind. It is only when you give your life to Christ that through the Holy Spirit you can have self-control and be able to stand against all these temptations to sin against God, to defile your body. Okachukwu says, "So omunya self-control." And say, "Omit my share of mumoso." Now, my cousin, it's not say you are born into no. You need Sarah and just one. Your body is not a tree. The body is not a tree. I just told you, Huma Yesu. And Sana, what you mean, Frisa, to be a man, what you mean, a control. It's not a tree, a penny, a bemon, a penny, a soft wall. Ah, they are all in some kind of things that are not pleasing to God because they don't have self control. They can't stand against temptation to sin against God. And it's all because they are not born again. It's only when you are born again that the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you and help you to be able to stay out of all those things that God doesn't like. Then the third thing he talked about was judgment of God. The major one he talked about is the judgment of God. So the third point was that Paul was talking about the judgment of God. And like I said, this is the gospel. You warn them about their sin, you talk about their sin, and then you warn them about the judgment coming. But if they don't repent, they will only come and meet God for the fearful judgment. And we know that this judgment is certain. There will be judgment. There are so many examples in the Bible that God has given us to show that there will be judgment. We can talk about Noah's time, the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, so many of them. Even when the Pharaoh and his people were chasing the Israelites in the Red Sea, what happened? God buried all of them. God is the God of wrath, the same way as the God of love. And once he has said it, he will do it. That's why they are all in the Bible for us to see. judgment will come, and the judgment is certain. Let me give you a few places where the Bible talks about judgment. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead in his appearing and his kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1.
Chapter 4, verse 1. I've been shown when I'm going to use this to ask. We move at your support and to attain. I'm going to be in a new name.
Now let's see what Christ himself said about judgment in John chapter 5 verse 28. John 5 verse 28. He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and then 29, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So friends, it is clear from the scriptures that judgment is coming. Everybody will be judged. Don't believe in people who preach as if when you die, that is the end. Otherwise, then there's no point in wasting our time coming to church. Then I'd rather look for money and enjoy myself in this life, and then that will be it. No. And mind you, we're not created to come in the world and just enjoy ourselves. We were created to come and glorify God. But you can't glorify God in your sin. So you must be born again so that you can glorify God. If you gain the whole world and you are not born again, your life is a disaster. Because that's not what you were created for. To come and be a big man, a big star in this. No. You must be able to glorify God. And you can only glorify God when you are born again. Now, if you are here, 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 of boy say ye be sum ye me for what I want to be some sum no abre awo body I just say you free body no matter. So you must be born again to be able to glorify God. And make us say what me anya sir na we wey ask me many na na o life no are o life. And then like I said before, the judgment will be according to how you have used this time, the time that you are given us, from the time you were born to the time you die, or the time that, no matter how old you are. What I'm saying is not only for adults, including children. What have you done with the time that God has given you? In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 4, he said, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. Then let's see what Paul also said about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done in his body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So you see, like I said, you will be judged according to how you have used your time that God has given you. How have you used your time? Have you been able to serve the Lord? Which made you? What are you doing for God? Ask yourself. Did he create you to just come and work and make money and enjoy yourself? No. He created you to come and glorify him. But the devil has changed it. So our hands are not clean to glorify God. That's why Christ has come. to make you clean to be able to glorify God. So what are you doing with your time? And you are hearing this message every year and year, and you still stay the same. It is very, very, very pity that many, many people are living. Even some people who believe that they are born again are not really born again, because you don't see the signs of the true conversion in their lives. Because when you are born again, there are visible signs. The master has had a book. He said, seven certain signs. Certain, they are certain. They must be seen in your life. If they are not seen in your life, you are not born again. So friends, every time you wake up in the morning, ask yourself, this morning, if Christ will come this morning, where will I be? Because then there will be judgment. Or if I die today. And you know you can die. Anybody can die at any time. One of my friends, a very good friend in Tema, yesterday I heard that he's dead. He was going to bed, he wasn't sick, there was nothing wrong with him. The next morning he was dead. And it can happen to anybody. So how ready are you when the time comes, when Christ comes, or when you yourself die? You must be ready. Otherwise, that will be your the end of your life. And the judgment too, as I've just read, everybody will be judged. Christians will be judged, unbelievers will be judged. That's why I say, if you say you are a Christian, Bible says there, if you think that you are a Christian, check yourself well. Sincerely go to your heart and see if you have really given your heart to Christ. You know, because your conscience tells you. If you have sincerely given your life to Christ, then this judgment, you can stand it. If not, you will face it and you go to hell. So everybody will be judged. And who is the judge? Jesus Christ is the judge. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, Peter said, Christ himself, he said, preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed to judge the living and the dead. And Christ himself also said it in John 5, verse 27. He said, all judgment is given to him, Christ, by God. So he is the judge. Do you know him? Is he your Lord? If you don't know him, he is the one going to judge you. So you have to be ready. And also, on the judgment day, as we have read, God will reveal everything, every secret in our hearts. God knows everything. He's the omniscient God. He knows everything. He's omnipresent, but he's present in you and anybody here. So he knows who you are. If you are a true Christian, he knows. Don't deceive yourselves. And also, the judgment has a purpose. The purpose is that it is taking people to other heaven or hell. In Hebrews 9:7, it says, it is appointed unto man to die once. After death, there is judgment. Once. Don't believe in other religions who say that when you die, you come back again and in a different form. No. Appointed unto man to die once. After death, there is judgment. Friends, before I come to conclusion, let us take this thing, especially what Felix did. After trembling in his heart, he told Paul to go and come back another time. Friends, there's a verse in the Bible which says, today, if you hear the word, don't harden your heart. He didn't say, he said today, and I'm talking about today as we are here this morning. If you hear the word, and you know you have not committed your life to Christ, don't harden your heart. Don't enter the new year with the hardening of your heart. Give your life to Christ. Let him forgive you of your sins. Let him change you from your sinful state to become a saint, and you can also glorify God. That is the purpose of your creation. Otherwise, your life is a disaster. So my question to you this morning is that, have you really given your life to Christ? Have you believed in the gospel? And what is a sign of your believing in the gospel? Like I quoted us to verse 46, those who believed, they gave their life, and about 3,000 people were baptized on that day. They believed the word and they gave their life to Christ, and they became saints. Paul trembled, and right from there, he gave his life to Christ and he became a saint. The Philippian jailer, we have seen all these examples. What about you? Have you been hearing the gospel year by year and you are still the same? My prayer is that God will have mercy upon you, that in the coming year, you will have a change of heart, you really commit your life to Christ, and then he will change you. Let's pray together.